that when those saints in Revelation 6 cried out and they said, Lord, how long before you avenge us? Well, the answer is right here in Revelation 16, 4 through 7, because God now is avenging those who killed the saints. He's avenging those who had been martyred for the sake of Christ. So that's the third bowl of wrath, and that is the rivers turn to blood.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Seven Bowl Judgments, the Wrath of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Seven Bowl Judgments, the Wrath of God.
We've looked at the seal judgments. We looked at the seven seal judgments, and we saw that out of the seventh seal came seven trumpets. And so the last time we were together before Thanksgiving, we looked at the seven trumpets. Now we see that there is this seventh trumpet, and out of the seventh trumpet comes seven bowl judgments. Now, as we look at these seven bowl judgments, we're going to see that the wrath of God is being intensified. So I'm going to go through the lesson with these seven bowl judgments. But what I want to look at today, and we'll look at it, is the wrath of God. You know, people accuse God of being unfair. They call God, I was reading this one book, it said, is God a moral monster? And what it was looking at was, you know, all the death and when God ordered people to kill other people, and we see these disasters that come on this earth, and people say that God is a monster, you know, that God is, how can he be God and let things like this happen? Or even more, how can he be God and we see him being the author of some of these things? So, you know, we want to be able to put that in perspective, you know, for us. And so as we look at putting that in perspective, you know, we're going to go through, like I said, the lesson today, and then we're going to look at the wrath of God. And we're going to try to get some kind of understanding on the wrath of God to see, you know, why is God allowing these devastating things to happen here on this earth? So we see here the seventh trumpet, and out of the seventh trumpet, we see the seven bowls of wrath. So if you look on your screen, you'll see seven angels in the book of Revelation, but on the screen, and they are pouring out wrath on people on the earth. And so we see here with the sounding of the seventh trumpet, and really, we have to actually go back a couple of chapters as we look at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And, you know, we look back into, I believe it's chapter 10, where it talks about the seventh trumpet that was sounded. Okay, no, it's chapter 11. And it says, and the seventh, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Now, when you look at Revelation 11 and verse 7, we see that there are words that are quoted there that we should, well, if you've been in church any length of time, then you have heard Handel's Messiah, right? And remember in Handel's Messiah, it says, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And where does that come from? Okay, so now you know. It comes from Revelation chapter 11, is verse 15. So if you sing that, you know, we're in the Advent season, we're in the Christmas season. So if you sing that song, or if you hear that, now, even if you don't sing it, I'm sure that you will hear at some point Handel's Messiah being played. So next time you hear it being played or sung, and they say the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, you'll know where that comes from. It comes from, watch this now, because you'll be saying, man, Pastor Glaze just went over that with us. It actually comes when the seventh angel sounded the seventh trumpet. And when the seventh angel sounded the seventh trumpet, we see out of that came the seven bowls of wrath. And so we see that these seven angels, that they actually carry seven bowls of wrath. All right. So let's look at Revelation 15, verses 5 and 6. And John says, and he's talking about these seven angels now that are going to pour out this this wrath upon the earth. And it says here, and after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Now look, verse 6, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with the golden girdles. All right. So these seven angels, we see their origin. Where did they come from? They came out of the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. It was called this because it contained the ark with the law of God, which testifies against sin, right? When you think about the Ten Commandments, right? What does it testify against? It testifies against sin. So these angels come out of the temple of heaven, and they're coming out of the temple of heaven because they are bringing a testimony against sin. They are bringing judgment against sin. So, you know, even as you look at the picture on the PowerPoint, you know, you see them pouring out their wrath. You see them pouring out the wrath of God. And where did they come from? They came out of heaven. They came out of the temple where the law is. And so they are pouring out, in essence, you know, God's judgment. God is going to use his word to judge people on this earth. And so the law will come and will testify against them, and God will be justified in what he's getting ready to do. Mm-hmm. So we see their description in verse 15 and chapter 15 and verses 6 and 7. And again, I saw the seven angels come out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed with pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels golden bowls. Wow. Wow. Look at this. Golden bowls. And what? They were filled with the wrath of God. Filled with the wrath of God. So these angels were clothed in pure and white linen, and they had on breasts, they had their breasts girded with golden girdles. These were the garments of the high priest. I mean, so man, you know, this passage in Revelation is just filled with symbolism in the Old Testament, right? That they had pure and white linen. They had their breasts girded with golden girdles. These were the garments of high priests, and the angels were going forth to serve as God's priests in ministering this judgment. They were, you know, these angels were going forth like priests, and they were going to pour out God's judgment on the earth. And their responsibility, they were given seven bowls. The Greek word for bowl is phelias or phelilas, and it refers to a shallow saucer. So these were the same types of bowls that were used in the temple. These bowls were filled. Again, wow, this is powerful. These bowls were filled with the wrath of God, which they were to pour out upon the earth. Man, you know, and we're getting ready to see what was in these bowls. But, you know, again, just look at the symbolism. You know, the temple, they came out of the temple. You know, they represented priests, and they were going to pour out the wrath of God upon this earth. So let's look at the first bowl of wrath. We see that when the first angel in chapter 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the bowls of wrath upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a foul and painful sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon them that worshiped the image. So the seven bowls here we see represent the final outpouring of God's wrath upon the earth. And again, they were introduced at the end of Revelation 15. And John talks about these angels that came forth and that they were pouring out their wrath upon the earth. And so the first bowl, when it was poured out, sores fell upon the people of the earth. Now, you know, just think about, we see two situations in the Bible that makes this very clear. Remember Job, when he was going through his affliction, the Bible says that he took a broken piece of pottery and he sat down and he scraped the sores that were on his body. And these sores were filled with pus. You know, these sores were painful, right? And Job sat down and scraped them off of his body. And then we see in another passage in the Gospel of Luke, where Lazarus, it says that, you know, he was laid at the rich man's gate and that he was full of sores. And so the first bowl, when it's poured out on the earth, it will contain the wrath of God, and it will cause sores to come upon people. And so now, you know, people will think that, you know, maybe somebody had cancer, you know, maybe somebody had diabetes, maybe somebody had heart disease, or, you know, maybe they had some kind of affliction. But whatever their affliction was before this right here, that they're going to forget all about it, because these sores that fall on their body. Boy, I tell you what, I'm going to go back to a lesson that I taught, you know, a couple of weeks ago, why the bride of Christ, we're not going to be here, right? So praise God. You know, we're not going to experience this, but those who are left upon the earth, they will experience these bowls being poured out, and one of the bowls will contain sores that will be poured upon people upon the earth. And then we see the second bowl in verse 3 of Revelation 16, and the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became like the blood of dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So when this bowl of wrath is poured out, you know, that the sea will be turned to blood. Now, you know, remember when the second trumpet sounded, you know, back a couple chapters ago, it said that only a third of the sea turned to blood, and it killed a third of the living creatures. But here we see that all the sea will be turned to blood, and everything in it will die. So you see in the PowerPoint slide, these fish and other living things in the ocean, how they will just be killed because of this second bowl that's poured out, and that they will be washed up onto the earth. So the second bowl, I mean, so, you know, again, seems like things are really getting intense now, that the wrath of God is being poured out in unprecedented ways. We see the third bowl of wrath was in Revelation 16, 4 through 7. And it says, and the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, who art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have, look at this, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And we see here that the worshipers, the beast and his worshipers, were responsible for killing the saints, right? Remember in Revelation 10, there was martyrs and they cried out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So they asked the question, Lord, when are you going to do something? Lets us know. I'm going to ask that everybody would put themselves on mute, please. If everybody would put themselves on mute, please, I would appreciate that.
Are we on mute?
No.
Mute.
I don't know.
I think so.
Thank you. All right. They asked the question, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So they asked this question. They cried out and asked this question. And here God answers. So, you know, have you ever gone through a situation where it seemed like you were being taken advantage of, where it seems like people were doing you wrong and you wanted to take the situation into your own hands? You know, that's why, you know, God said in the book of Romans, he said, don't avenge yourself. He said, but let me take care of it. And you know, it's good to let God take care of it, because he knows how to take care of it the right way. You know, we might take care of it the wrong way, but God knows how to take care of it the right way. And so in this passage right here, we see that God turned the rivers into blood, and that people had no water to drink. And the only thing they could drink was the blood. And God says, this is what I want you to remember, that when those saints in Revelation 6 cried out and they said, Lord, how long before you avenge us? Well, the answer is right here in Revelation 16, 4 through 7, because God now is avenging those who killed the saints. He's avenging those who had been martyred for the sake of Christ. So that's the third bowl of wrath. And that is the rivers turned to blood. And then we see the fourth bowl of wrath in Revelation 16, 8 and 9. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, who had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. The sun will become so intense that it will burn people. It will burn the skins of people. And they will cry out in pain. They will writhe in pain because of the heat of the sun. Man, can you imagine what that's going to be like to just not be able to escape the sun's heat and just see your skin being burned? And I can't even begin to think about that, right? You won't be able to do anything about it. And you know the sad thing, what does it say here? They continue to blaspheme God and refuse to give him the glory, right? So they still, with all that's going on, they still curse God. They still blaspheme God, and they still refuse to give him the glory. So that's the fourth bowl that's poured out on the earth. Now we see the fifth bowl is that darkness covers the beast kingdom. in Revelation 16, verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So the darkness here, the Bible says, will be so thick, will be so heavy, that it will cause pain. And you see that picture there on the PowerPoint slide of, it looks like people just writhing in pain because of the darkness that has covered the face of the earth. And then with all the three plagues that have come before, the sores and the other things that they have experienced, listen to what it says. They continue to blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And you know, when you think about this, somebody asked a question a couple of weeks ago, you know, will people who don't go in the rapture, will they get another chance to accept Christ? Well, I don't think they're going to get another chance. Now, there will be witnesses here, and I believe those witnesses will witness to those who have maybe not had a clear presentation of the gospel, maybe those who have never heard the gospel. But I think it's very unlikely that if somebody is living right now and they end up being here when the tribulation starts, I think it's very unlikely that they will give their heart to Christ. As a matter of fact, it seems like the exact opposite will take place. Instead of submitting to Christ, instead of bowing their knee and saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says that they will continue to blaspheme, and that they will not repent of their deeds. So, you know, like I said, it seems very grim of people turning to Christ if they have not turned now. But again, you know, we see that there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will be anointed to spread the gospel. We see there's the angel who will cry out the everlasting gospel. And there are two witnesses, and we're going to look at these two witnesses in Revelation 11 that preach the gospel. So the gospel will be preached during this time. But again, I believe it's only people going to get saved are those who, you know, probably have never heard, or maybe not have had a clear presentation. You know, I believe that God will give them a chance to hear the gospel and make that decision. But all the others, it seems like their heart will be so hard, right? Their heart will be so hard that they will continue to blaspheme God, and they will turn against him. The sixth bowl of wrath lets us know that the Euphrates River will be dried up. And it says in verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So we see here that the Euphrates River will dry up and prepare the way for the kings from the east to converge. Now at this point, you know, we're coming to the end of the tribulation. The tribulation is winding down. And the next thing after the tribulation is the Battle of Armageddon, right? And that's where armies from the world will gather together, think they're going to fight against Israel, but end up fighting against Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Seven Bowl Judgments, the Wrath of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Seven Bowl Judgments, The Wrath of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Seven Bowl Judgments, The Wrath of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Seven Bowl Judgments, The Wrath of God from our Bible prophecy series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send a financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.